I started my own podcast from my bedroom, and within 2 months, I already secured massive guests that I could only dream of, such as SpaceX co-founder Jim Cantrell, best-selling authors, neuroscientists like Dr. Joe Gibelli, and wildlife filmmaker and Nat Geo presenter Bertie Gregory, who has his own Disney Plus show, multiple of them. And in this exact same amount of time, I also garnered over 3 million social media views in just 2 months. And today I'm going to show you the first steps that I took to start my own remote podcast from my bedroom, so you can do the same as well. If you're new here, I'm Jacob Watson Howland. I'm an award-winning BBC featured photographer and podcaster. Before we get into the nitty-gritty and the exact steps that I took, I bet you have this voice in your head, if you want to start your own show, that is doubtful about your dreams. There's this nagging voice in your head that wants you to not start the show and is giving you loads of reasons why you're not good enough to start the show. Like, oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not intellectual enough. I don't know anyone. I don't have any of the equipment. I had all of these doubts and limiting beliefs, we will call them, in my mind as well. And after a few months of procrastinating, I just turned my brain off and just got on with it and took the first step. So if you have these limiting beliefs and you don't believe that you're good enough to start your own show, trust me, the only way to become good at starting your own show is by starting your own show and recording episodes. So just have really low expectations when you first start, especially if you have no previous experience talking in front of camera, talking to guests online. I started the show and I'd never done a Zoom call in my life. So it took a few episodes to get into it. But if you have these limiting beliefs, just take the first step and turn your brain off. And what is the first step? Well, it's making your YouTube, Spotify, and RSS account. So what you need to do is, one, create a YouTube channel. And then two, go on to Spotify for Creators and create your own podcast account. But then there's also this thing called RSS.com. And you probably haven't heard of RSS before. So let me tell you a bit about that, because it's super important if you want to get your show on the less used but still popular platforms like Deezer, but also really popular platforms like Apple Podcasts. So let me tell you about RSS.com and why you need to create your own RSS page to access a wider range of guests. So first, turn your brain off and then create accounts on this. Let me tell you about RSS. This is a website or an account that allows you to distribute your podcast to as many different, basically to all of the podcast platforms available in the world. Why is this important? Well, because a lot of people will be listening to podcasts on these niche websites like Overcast or iHeartRadio or Deezer if they're from maybe a country like France. And by getting this software that allows you to publish your podcast to multiple different apps, it means you'll acquire a large amount of listeners from countries and from in ways in which you wouldn't be able to if you just had a Spotify and YouTube account. And a lot of different countries use different podcasting media platforms. And what RSS does is allow you to distribute it all to all of the apps with just one upload. So instead of having to manually go onto Apple, Deezer, Overcast, PodSqueeze, all of these different apps manually and upload, which would take way too long, you just put it onto your RSS feed and then it distributes it all for you. It's an absolute no-brainer. And most importantly, if you want to get your podcast on Apple, which you definitely need to do because a lot of people listen to their podcasts on Apple Podcasting, then you need to get an RSS account to do so. It is paid. It's about the one that I pay for, RSS.com. I'm not sponsored, but it's genuinely the one I use. I get the student membership for £2.50, but it is also, I think it's at least $5 to $10 a month, but it will allow you to genuinely reach 10 times more people in the process. So it's definitely a worthy trade-off for just a couple of bucks a month. And if you want to start your own show, even if you're doing it remotely and you don't have a big audience already, and you're just starting out, you need to get it on Apple and on RSS, because it means you can grow your audience faster and therefore get better guests, then get brand deals in the future, and then get monetized. So it's an absolute non-negotiable after you've turned your brain off and actually started creating the Spotify and YouTube account to go onto RSS and do it that way. Basically, once you download RSS and sign up, etc., fill in the details, there'll be a distribution little tab, and you basically just click the buttons to turn the apps on, so you can post your podcast to it. There'll be like steps, which is super simple to follow, to actually connect your podcast on the RSS platform to the distributing app, for example, Deezer or Apple. But once you get RSS, it'll tell you exactly the steps you need to do, and it's super simple anyway. So once you've created accounts, you obviously need to create a profile picture, maybe a banner image if you're on YouTube, do the bio, and name your show. And you could easily spend hours and hours procrastinating and in dilemma of what to call the show, what the profile picture should be, what the bio should be. But if I'm going to be honest with you, it's one of the least important things, other than maybe naming the show. That's a bit more important. But your profile picture, your banner image, things like that, they're nowhere near as important as your overthinking, critical thinking brain actually believes them to be. My brain was in the exact same situation. So again, instead of just overthinking and not taking any action, I turned my brain off, took action, and I just followed investor Naval Ravikant's philosophy of naming your media platform after yourself. And why did I name it after myself? I called my podcast basically just Watson Howland, my surname, or the Watson Howland podcast. And the reason why you should name it after yourself, if you don't have any an exact idea of a different name that you've already planned, is because one, it's super easy. Two, it gives you accountability. If you're putting your name on something, it means that there's more pressure on you to perform, but also it creates a personal brand for your name. And once your name becomes more recognizable, that will increase the connection between you and the audience, because they'll know your name. The show is your name. Think about the Joe Rogan Experience, or the Lex Friedman podcast, or Huberman Lab, the Tim Ferriss show. These are just off the top of my head. Even the Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. By positioning yourself as, like by putting your name as part of the branding, it means you become more credible the more your show grows. If you didn't show your name and no one knew who your name was, then you're not going to get as much of a like a parasocial relationship between and a connection between yourself and the audience, because if you don't know someone's name, they're still like a stranger to you. If you put your name on it, it increases your personal branding, but also the connection with the audience. It just, yeah, it just creates less of that anonymity. And by having your name on there, it shows like your what you're putting out is legitimate, and it directly relates to your beliefs and what you think is, like, I guess, your morals. Whereas if you were just doing an anonymous account, then you could ease, or like you didn't show your face as well, then you could just spam things that you think would get views, and you'd have no consequences for your actions. And I don't think that's a good strategy if you want a loyal audience. All we're trying to do is gain a loyal audience, even if it's small, for the first like year, 6 months, even a couple years. You want to try and get as much of a connection between yourself and your audience as possible, because that'll benefit you in the long run, because you'll get repeated listeners and that'll help you with the algorithm. So if everyone knows your name, let's be real, it's just basic human nature. If you don't know someone's name, then you don't have as much of a connection with them. They're still a stranger. And the exact same applies to online media and your podcast. If they don't know your name, they're not going to connect as much with you, and they probably won't listen to all your episodes, versus having your name as the front of the show and emphasizing that you're the face of the show. It's your show. We need to be proud of our show. We need to be invested in our show, and it's a great way to show that, look, I care about this. This is my personalized thing. Then, yeah, having your name as the name of the show, it just increases that. It just increases your connection with the audience, which will increase the loyalty to you in over time, basically. And for the profile picture, again, I would spend as little time as possible on the profile picture, because it's so easy to, instead of creating podcasts, inviting guests onto the show, editing the show, I kind of want to change the profile picture. I kind of want to like make it like, oh, have the clean, colorful background and have like the studio lighting. I'm lucky because I'm a photographer, so I already had some studio portraits of me, which I just whacked on. But it's more important to actually get there and record and be as fast as possible, get to recording your first episode. You need to spend as little time on setting it up and just try and record your show as quickly as possible, because that will give you some momentum. It'll get you into the routine of recording, and you'll get into the habit of doing it and not, you know, spend weeks perfecting the profile picture, thinking of the name, doing the banner, doing the bio. That's just procrastination. What actually matters is getting your videos out there at a consistent level. If we think about the 80-20 principle, which basically is 20% or less of your inputs cause 80% of the results, the most 80-20 thing you can do is creating podcast episodes, creating videos, because that will attract more of the audience, it will attract more listeners, and 99% of your audience and listeners won't even press subscribe to start with. They won't even go into your account to start with. They'll just consume one of your podcasts or a few of your podcasts. A lot of the time, people just click on content that appears on their home feed and their homepage. They don't go into the subscription section on YouTube anymore. Which means, and they don't go into your account either. They just go into the next video. It's like Netflix. They just binge content. So by focusing all of our effort on creating the perfect profile picture, the perfect title for our show, the perfect bio, it's completely ineffective, because 99% of the people won't even look at it. And if they do, it'll be for a split second and it will not even matter. So it's super easy to just procrastinate and spend so much time on branding your show. And you should actually just be focusing on getting episodes out there, contacting guests if you're doing a guest-based show, and recording the content. That is the most important thing. If you just spend as much time recording the content as possible, you're going to get results faster. You're going to be able to post more episodes and therefore get an audience quicker and then get more guests on the show. And it creates this snowball effect where it gets bigger and bigger the more you do it. By tweaking your profile picture, it's not going to make a difference to whether you can get your dream guests on the show or not, you know? But for the profile picture, I would have a picture of your face, even if it's just like a selfie, or you can get your like mum or your best friend or your like girlfriend or something to just take a headshot portrait of you. Why does that matter? Again, it's trying to create that human connection. If they do see your profile picture, then it's better to have a picture of your face, because it shows that you're a human, you're not a robot, you're not a faceless account, and therefore they'll have an instant connection and it feels like they'll know you a bit better than just having like a logo as your profile picture. So spend literally less than 5 minutes getting a photo of yourself, or finding a good photo of yourself that you should like use for a dating app or something, and just make that your profile picture. Then turn your brain off and completely forget about it afterwards. And then for creating the banner image, again, just create like a quick slogan. Mine's understand yourself and the world better one episode at a time. So if it's to do with history, then just talk about uncovering the secrets of World War II. If you're doing a World War II podcast, or if it's like a fitness one, it's like helping you become fitter every single day, or one episode at a time. You know, just super simple. Spend 5 minutes, or ask ChatGPT to give you some ideas. Make it one sentence maximum, or two sentences, and then just whack it as text on Canva, which is just free graphic design software, and then just whack that as your banner image on YouTube. But to be honest, like, you don't have to do that. You could literally just leave the banner image as it is, because most people won't go into your account, like I already said, and just go be as fast as possible in this process so you can get to recording episodes quicker. And then for your bio, again, maybe just introduce yourself or just repeat the slogan. and then maybe leave some links to your social media accounts, maybe your Spotify or Apple or your website. But again, it's not that important. Most people just stay on the social media platform that they're consuming 80% of the time. I've had my friend told me, your podcast has been appearing on my homepage or For You page. And I was like, oh, what, on YouTube? Like, hoping it was, because I'm trying to focus on YouTube and that's where the full episodes are. And he's like, oh no, TikTok. And then I think someone else said it about the same with Instagram. So although my friend probably does watch YouTube, he probably spends 80% of his time on TikTok. So by linking your social media platforms all together, that's fine. You might get a few extra followers from it, but most of the people just have one main social media platform they use. Therefore, it's not super important to link different social media accounts together. Like on YouTube, you don't need to link your TikTok, Instagram, etc. If you feel like that's going to take you too much time, it will take literally a few minutes. But again, you're not going to get loads of followers from that. Unless you had 100,000 followers on Instagram, you've just started YouTube. Yeah, then that means it would be more important or effective to send them over, because you'll get a small percentage of Instagram followers to go onto your account from Instagram to YouTube. If you have that many, it's just a law of large numbers. Even 1% of your 100,000 follower audience on Instagram might go over to YouTube. That's 1,000 subscribers. Doesn't mean they're going to watch your content. Doesn't mean they go on YouTube that much, and therefore won't actually make too much of a difference. So again, it is literally just focusing on recording and uploading your content onto the podcast platforms. And then, yeah, you can, you know, promote it a bit on other social medias and clip it. What I would do for utilizing other social media platforms like Twitter, like TikTok, like Instagram, is not obviously posting the full episodes, because you can't, and you don't need to try and drive people to your show from these social media platforms. But what you can do is repurpose and clip farm your podcast. So take the short 10 to, I don't know, a minute and a half clips that are the most interesting, the most controversial, the most tension grabbing from your podcast onto these short form platforms. Because yeah, most people will be using, like I said, TikTok or Instagram most of the time. If they see your show appear on their view page, that's still content for them that is beneficial to them. And hey, you never know, in a few months' time, after seeing loads of your clips on social media, on the short form content platforms, they might go over onto Spotify or YouTube and start consuming your content. It's a good way to advertise it. That's more of a long-term strategy, but I would definitely recommend doing that. And I've made plenty of videos that describe, and will continue to make videos in the future, that help you create clips really fast and frictionless, almost, using AI tools like Descript or Riverside FM, which I love to preach about, because they're just absolutely fantastic for repurposing and editing your podcast fast and getting clips super, super quick. So I would definitely use short form content. But again, first, you have to record the fucking episodes to actually be able to get the clips on your social media platform. So what I'm trying to emphasize to you right now is literally turn your brain off and just create the account and then start emailing guests to come onto your show. Again, if you want help doing that, there I have a paid private community called my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, where I run you through every single step of this entire process, including emailing guests. And you'll get my email templates, and I'll show you how you can use AI to spam invite loads of guests, but create it personalized so it doesn't look too, batched and AI used, and just less personalized to them. If you want that, first link in the description, I'll let you hold your hand and show you exactly how to make your own podcast from scratch. But like I said, literally just try and record as quickly as possible. It will just help your brain get on with it and stop procrastinating, and will help you take action faster. And the most important thing is recording the full episodes, and then afterwards we can focus on clipping them into short form content. For Spotify and Apple, you're going to need to create a small logo. Like I said, you should just use a picture of you, but also have a bit of text. So what I did, because mine's Watson Howland, I've literally just done a picture of me in black and white and then yellow text for WH is my initials. I've literally just copied like the Diary of a CEO and Modern Wisdom's approach to that, and Huberman Labs as well on the Tim Ferriss show. They all have a picture of them and then just the name of the show. Again, go onto Canva, make a free account and just whack the photo on a square kind of layout, a square poster, put the image on, choose your favorite font. Don't spend 3 hours choosing your favorite font. Just choose a fucking font and then put your initials or the initials of the show. Or if your show is quite a short name, then just put the name of the show at the bottom of the picture, whack that onto Spotify and Apple, and then boom, you're laughing. Then you're a step closer to recording some actual episodes instead of procrastinating. If you want super in-depth step-by-step tactics of how I do this, where I literally screen record and show the exact process to create your logo, to choose a slogan, to email guests to come onto your show, to use certain software to help you get guests on remotely, but keep it high quality. First link in the description for my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint. And you'll also be able to join me on weekly live calls where I can go through your show and answer your questions to get you results faster and hopefully get you your dream guest and create viral worthy content so more people can follow your show. First link in that, but let's go on to the next section. So the next step, once you've done kind of that branding side, that should literally take you like, it should take you half an hour maximum to create the logo, create the profile picture, do the bio, think of the slogan. The next thing, this is more important because it's directly related to the highest leverage task of your show, which is recording with guests. And that is software. So you could do Zoom, you could do Teams, but if you actually want to have a pro show from your bedroom, potentially like remotely, then I would use a specific podcast software that is like Zoom, but is directly for remote podcasting that creates high quality image and video and audio tracks from you and your guests separately. So you can, you know, edit it and do things like that. And it's also AI leveraged. It's called Riverside FM. I'm not sponsored, but I use it. Again, I warn you, it is £20 a month, but it is the most important piece of software for your pro remote podcast show because it does everything for you. It completely streamlines the entire remote recording process for you and your guest. And like I said, high quality audio, high quality video. You can literally just press a button and it invites the guest via email. All they have to do is click the link and then join in their browser. Super, super efficient, super simple. Like the layouts are so simple. It has a cloud, so it saves all your videos. I'm actually using Riverside right now to record my audio for this video because I can plug my microphone into my laptop and then it creates this thing called Magic Audio, which removes the background noise, the echoes, and makes my audio super crisp with one click of a button. And that's AI leveraged too. They also have this new thing called Co-Creator, where it is an AI for your specific show. So it will go through your transcript and create show notes, titles, summaries, chapters. It basically does all the heavy lifting for you. All you have to do is literally just press record and ask questions to your guest. And it's £20 a month. This will allow you to have a pro show from your bedroom and also allow you to record faster because it's just so quick, so simple. It does all the, it can do all the editing for you. You can literally just like press a few buttons, like cut out the filler words or remove the pauses, and you can just upload it like straight from that. It also has straight from Riverside to YouTube, for example, if you just want to keep it simple and fast. But also it has this thing called smart layouts where you can either have yourself and the guest as a full screen and it just automatically switches whenever someone's speaking, or you can do split screen, different things like that. Instead of you having to manually cut when you and the guest speak, Riverside does it for you. It's an absolute no-brainer and it's allowed me to get 35, 40, 50 episodes done in the first 3 months of starting my show. 99% of podcasts don't make it past episode one. Out of the 1% that do make it past episode one, only 1% of those make it past episode 20. So if you make 21 episodes, you're in the top 0.1% of podcasters to ever live on the planet. Riverside FM allows you to literally breeze past episode 20 like it wasn't even a challenge, like there wasn't even a hurdle. So again, if we're the most important thing for starting our own show is getting as many reps and iterations in as possible, i.e. recording as many episodes as quickly as possible so we can learn whilst we do it and grow our audience super quick because we're going to be posting consistently and regularly, it's an absolute no-brainer because it does 80% of the like long tasks, like thinking of a description or what title to do or editing manually. It does that automated using AI, which will allow us to get more guests on the show at a faster rate and whilst keeping it super professional. I would recommend this other software that I've spoken about in previous videos called Descript. It's, I think, $25 a month. Why would I recommend this? Well, it's different to Riverside in the sense that it's more for post-production, so editing the podcast. It creates better studio sound with literally a click of a button. Again, it also creates the clips for you. Riverside FM does create the magic audio clips for you, but I don't think the clips are as good as Descript's. And you can ask Descript the exact topic you want to be highlighted in the clips, and it'll go through your transcript and find that specific topic you guys were talking about because you remembered halfway through the show, okay, yeah, what the guest is saying here is like quite controversial. It's really attention grabbing. It's interesting. Let me just ask Descript to find clips based on that similar topic, and it'll create those clips for you. Again, it's just super, super efficient, effective, AI automated. And most people don't know about this. Only the few like top podcasters know about Descript and Riverside FM. A lot of them are probably still using Zoom and they're creating stuff manually. It also finds highlights for you. So if you wanted to create your own shorts, you can literally just highlight the transcript and press like new composition, which I show in my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, like via screen recording. And it will create a separate project for that like 30-second clip, which you can use as a TikTok or YouTube short or an Instagram video. So you can do a lot of manual stuff as well, but it's super fast. You don't have to, for example, if you were on DaVinci Resolve or what's the Adobe one called? Someone in the comments can tell me what the Adobe like editing suite's called. But what you'd normally have to do is like scroll along your video, find the transcript, and then like manually cut things and like spend hours trying to figure out what part of the podcast was the most interesting, and just being like spending hours doing it manually, like you're a peasant or something in a factory. Whereas now with this AI automated software, you'll have the transcript on one side of your screen and then you'll have the like video playing on the other side, and you can press Command F if you're on MacBook, or just scroll through the transcript and find the most interesting parts of the video. Or you could just ask the AI on the script to do that for you and find clips for you. And I think this week actually I was editing a recent podcast and I copy and pasted the transcript into ChatGPT and asked it to find me some viral clips from the transcript just to see what the difference would be between the Descript clips and the ChatGPT clips. And the ChatGPT clips were actually worse. So the timestamps for where they said the most interesting topics were a bit off. And also it paraphrased a lot of the transcript and it made it sound super interesting. Then I tried to find where it was talking about in the transcript for this clip, and it was like completely different to what was actually said in that space of time. And even if it was accurate, I'd still have to create those clips manually because ChatGPT didn't have access to the video, it just had access to the transcript. Whereas on Descript, it had the complete, it just did it for you. It just made the clip for you in literally less than a minute. And you can do 3 clips, you can do 10 clips, and you can customize what you want it to talk about. So I would highly, highly recommend getting Descript as your editing software and use those clips instead of Magic Audio. But why do these clips matter if like most people on TikTok and Instagram aren't going to be consuming your content. Well, if you can post content for free, if you can create short form content for free, which gets more views, there's going to be a small percentage of those who go on and check out your work. So one of my videos blew up on Instagram and TikTok, both got 1 million+ views. And I gained like a few more listeners on YouTube from that. Like it was a small percentage, but it was better than like not gaining anything from it. And it's like, you don't have to pay any money to post on short form content. And if you have a lot of presence on different social media platforms, it will just make you more credible and your show more credible and will allow more people to find out about it, even if it is a small percentage compared to them seeing it on their YouTube homepage or their Spotify homepage. And also, Apple and Spotify aren't good at promoting your shows. And think of short form content as an almost advertisement, like an advert for your show. So like, it just gives you the juiciest bits from the show. If they like that sample, let's use the example of brownies. So when you're in a shop, sometimes people will be sat there with a tray and they will have some brownies that you can have for free as a sample, right? They're like smaller than the actual brownies you'd get that you'd have to pay for. But, you know, it's a bit of a taster. They can see whether they like it or not. And there will be a percentage of those who try the sample who end up having and buying and consuming the larger sample, the larger brownies, the actual box of brownies. So imagine your short form content as the sample, so the small taster that they can try out, and then imagine your full podcast episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple as the actual product that they would consume that's larger. So what's going to get you a bigger audience faster, and what's going to secure you more of a loyal audience in a faster amount of time? Having just the box of brownies, just your podcast on the shelf, so just on these platforms that are like long form content, or having the long form content on these platforms, the brownies on the shelf, as well as the small free samples for the potential viewer, potential audience to try out first. And then if they like it, there's going to be a percentage of them that will consume more of your full episodes. So think of it as that. You're going to obviously get more of an audience from having the free samples, the little snippets on your social media, on your short form social media content, than just having the big episodes by themselves on the long form content. It just makes so much more sense to have both, because there will be a percentage of people who look at your short form content and they're like, oh, that's interesting. Let me go check out the full episode on Spotify or YouTube or whatever I use, because I do listen to podcasts, but I also consume short form content. They just have a little taster. If they like it, they're going to go onto your show. Short form content often produces more views. So then again, you're going to have more traffic and more chance of people checking out your show. And if you can get AI to generate some good clips for you, which you can through Descript or even through Riverside FM, why wouldn't you just post one short a week? Why wouldn't you have the samples out there for the potential viewers to try out? It just makes so much sense. If you had to pay to post short form content, or it took you hours and hours and hours to edit it into shorts, then maybe it wouldn't be as worth it. But the thing is, my favorite podcast is Modern Wisdom by Chris Williamson. How did I find out about Modern Wisdom? I was on Instagram Reels and I started going to the gym. So I started getting a bit of gym. The algorithm started pushing me some gym stuff because I started consuming a bit of that. And then it also started showing me some self-improvement things. I don't go on social media now. I only use it to post. But back then I was a bit more of a consumer. And I kept seeing clips of Modern Wisdom appear on my feed. And at first it was like clips of like Alex Hormozy. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Oh, this is like, you know, this is like toxic, like, oh, like gym bros, yeah, whatever. But over a few weeks, I started to watch more of the shorts, I started trying more of the brownies, the samples. And when I first saw the content, I just walked past, didn't try the samples, just like kept scrolling down. But over time, I started tasting a bit more of the samples. I started consuming a bit more of the Modern Wisdom clips, and it started to taste nice. The clips were actually like good. They were insightful. They were advice I'd never heard before. And I was like, huh, I consume YouTube. I used to consume YouTube quite a lot. It was mainly Instagram and YouTube. But I always like watched videos on YouTube, but I wasn't just on Instagram. So I went on to Instagram. No, I went on to YouTube, sorry. And after trying those samples for a few weeks, after consuming the short form content of Modern Wisdom for a few weeks, I tried out a full episode of Modern Wisdom. And I would never have been able to find Modern Wisdom, or at least at that point in time. It wouldn't have come up on my YouTube homepage, because the algorithm, like, I wasn't really watching podcasts on YouTube. But because I tried the sample, because I watched the short form content of that show, basically the mini adverts, the mini samples of that show, I then migrated to YouTube to try the full episodes, and I bought the entire box of brownies. And then my YouTube algorithm started pushing me more Modern Wisdom full episodes. So I started consuming more and more of it. And then I started listening to it on Spotify. It's like a funnel. It works. You need to post short form content when you're first starting out your podcast. And if you want tips on how to do that and how to, you know, choose the best clips to use, how to use the script most effectively to make sure it generates you social media clips, first link in the description is part of my video course on my private on my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, if you're interested in that. But do you see how it works? You show the clips on short form social media platforms. It's going to attract a large amount of people because they get more views. A small percentage of those will keep consuming those shorts. Eventually, they'll hop on and watch the long form content. And if they like that, then they'll keep watching. And then you have them hooked on the full episodes, which will help you grow on the long form content platforms like YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. And it's this positive feedback loop, and your show will grow. If you don't post short form content, you're literally just limiting your growth, and you're going to get demotivated because you're not getting a large amount of listeners. Even if you're like been doing it for 3 years, you will get way less versus someone who's posted short form content for those 3 years. If you don't post any short form content, you're screwed, to be honest. And yeah, it's super effective, and it's an absolute no-brainer because it's not actually more effort. And using AI, it can do 90% of the work for you in terms of clipping and choosing the content to push out. All you have to do is press upload and schedule it in, and you've got one clip at least every day. You're going to get more listeners from that. Also, if I hadn't tried those samples of Modern Wisdom and the short form content, the reels on Instagram, then I probably wouldn't be here speaking to you right now. I probably wouldn't have a growing show with over 3 million social media views in the first 2 months of starting. I wouldn't have been able to book my favorite guests that I could only ever dream of speaking to, like Bertie Gregory and best-selling authors and leading academics and outliers. I would never been able to connect with these people and have this awesome show that I love doing if I hadn't consumed those reels, because, you know, it is a bit of the butterfly effect, but Modern Wisdom is one of the reasons why I started the podcast, because I just absolutely loved it. And I thought, hey, I could do this as well. And it led me to listen to other podcasts I didn't listen, that I would have never known before. And it got me into self-improvement. It helped me with my confidence, my sleep, my diet, my like gym performance. And it all led up to starting my own show. But imagine if Chris from Modern Wisdom didn't post those reels. I may have never even have started my own pro show. So if you're in that situation right now and you're listening to me speak about starting your own pro show, this is your time. This is your sign to just stop procrastinating, to create the account and to start emailing guests to get onto your show. And if you don't have any equipment, I'll tell you what to do now. So if you don't have a professional camera, if you don't have, you know, the lighting, the microphone, as I've said in previous videos, use your iPhone. That is a professional camera in your pocket that your mum probably pays for. Buy a cheap tripod off of Amazon and just have it above your laptop if you're recording remotely. If you don't want to do that, just use your laptop webcam, especially if it records in 1080p HD, but even 720p you can get away with. It won't be as good, but most people do listen rather than watch podcasts. Lighting, this light here and this blue light here. The light here, the key light, the main light on my face was £20 off Amazon. And this little LED ring light was probably about $10 off Amazon. That's it. For, you know, less than $30, you've got this kind of pro bedroom lighting that looks quite studio, looks quite cinematic. And right now I am using an expensive microphone, the Shure SM7B, which is an absolute staple of podcasting. It's a couple hundred bucks, but it performs like and sounds like it's like thousands and thousands. But you can literally just start with these, specifically this, your Apple earphone microphones. They're literally £10 again on Amazon. And with the AI software, the Riverside FM with Descript, like I said before, one click of a button and you have studio sound, it will turn that audio into pro, crisp, listenable audio. And most people won't even realize that you're using them as your audio. So it's not an excuse. If you have a laptop, if you have an iPhone, if you have headphones, and if you can afford £20 LED ring lights, that's all the equipment you need to start your show. Because think about it, the guests aren't going to have the pro setup unless they're also podcasters as well. So having the software as well will turn both of your audios into super crisp. Audio is by far the most important in terms of quality. You need to make sure that's good. So the first investment would be a microphone. But if you are strapped for cash, I'd buy the software before the audio because it will just turn everything up a notch in terms of quality just through the AI software that it uses. It's an absolute no-brainer and it literally just one click of a button, your audio is fixed. It's so good. So now we've got the software, we've got the equipment, and we've downloaded Riverside FM and we're going to get guests remotely. How do you get guests? How did I get guests? Well, I've got specific videos for that. And I, again, first thing in the description, if you want super in-depth, like super, super like hours long advice on how to get guests on your show. But how do you find guests? Well, first you figure out what you're interested in. So, you know, if you're interested in hockey or sport or fitness or the gym, or you're maybe interested in specifically in the sauna and what the health benefits of that, you go into ChatGPT and you ask, find me experts in that topic. Maybe if you've read some books about the sauna, you write down the author's name on a page on Apple Notes, and then you also copy and paste the names ChatGPT gives you on your notes as well on the same page. You'll go onto YouTube and Spotify and find podcasts or 10-minute videos and YouTubers who are into cold and warm therapy, into the sauna, and maybe check your Instagram reels, see the people that you follow on TikTok that talk about the sauna's benefits. And you basically compile a list of all of these names, and then you will either or like manually search up their name and put email on Google, or you will ask ChatGPT or another AI to find me these guests, these people's emails or websites or contact details, as I want them to be guests on my show. I would recommend using AI, but also doing manual, because sometimes AI doesn't give it to you. But start off with ChatGPT. You literally just ask it, find me the email addresses or contact details of the following names for my podcast. And then you'll just copy and paste the names you've collected on, for example, like sauna experts, and it should give you their emails. And you could DM them. But as I said many, many times before, if you just started your own show and you have 4 followers, is someone with like even 1,000 followers, or probably if you're going to be aspirational, which you should be, you should try and get you the best guests on as soon as possible, because a lot of people just do like going onto podcasts and talking about their themselves and their interests. And even if you're starting your own show, podcasting just has this weird advantage where it just seems professional, even if you have like 10 followers. It just seems like, I don't know why it is that, but it is what it is, you know. I'm not going to complain. Especially if you've made sure that you're going to be recording high quality and you send a good email, which I have templates for in my free course, first link in the description. If you send them a DM, most people don't check their DMs unless they follow you, which they won't probably, unless you're friends with them already, which you probably won't be. So they're not going to see that DM. Whereas if you have their email, as far as I'm aware, there's not a like friends section on like Gmail, is there? On the email address. Basically, every single email goes to the same inbox unless they've like specifically set it up so it doesn't, but 99% of the population hasn't done that. So if you have their email address, they will die, like the chances of them seeing your invitation is so much higher, and you won't have how many followers you have attached to your name versus on Instagram, for example. It will be your name and they can go onto your account and they can see you have 4 followers and 2 posts and they'll be like, nah, this is just some like, you know, random guy. It's probably a bot. It's probably a spam account. Whereas on email, you have to go through the effort of finding their email address and you don't have any of that negative social proof attached to your name because you don't have any followers attached to your name on Gmail. It's also just professional. It's what professional people with jobs use. They use email. They don't check their DMs usually. I mean, if you have 100,000 followers and your show's been advanced, then yeah, mate, start DMing people that way as well as sending them emails. But 99% of the guests that I've gone to my show have been through email, and I did not send any DMs for the first month or two, even though I had 12,000 followers on Instagram. And I've only got, I think, 1 or 2 guests from DMs. And I've got 50 plus guests from sending emails. And as long as you can find their email addresses, then do that. If you can't find their email addresses, yeah, of course, go DM them. Of course, try and find their LinkedIn, which is, again, more professional than just casually DMing them. So create a LinkedIn account as well. Do that before DMing them on Instagram or TikTok. But yeah, emailing guests is the most effective way to get a response. They might not say yes, but using the tips that I explained in previous videos and in my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint course in more detail, you will have a very high chance of them saying yes. And the conversion rate will be above 10 to 20%, which is super, super high. I think most cold email conversion rates, like probably less than 1%. But with the tactics I use, I get at least 10%, at least 20%, sometimes even 30% response rate through my cold emails. And it's the most effective way to get guests on your show super fast. And why is that important? We want to record episodes super quick so we can practice and so we can get more guests on, because we'll have a stack of proof of these names of posted episodes, which will show them, okay, this person's consistent. They're actually doing a professional show. They're not just, you know, starting their podcast and gonna do 2 episodes and forget about it. This is worth my time. So start sending emails out. I have previous videos and my course to show you exactly what to put in your emails. But yeah, I will give you a few tips now just to help you if you've never sent a cold email before. So you want to make sure the headline, which is the first thing they'll read, is directly related to a podcast invitation. So if you call it podcast invitation, then say what you want to discuss and it should be about their expertise. So if you're emailing that academic who's studied saunas and cold and warm therapy, you would say discuss podcast invitation, discuss sauna and cold and warm therapy and health benefits. And then you would obviously say dear, their name, their full name. Don't just say dear John if you don't know them, because that's informal. Introduce yourself and your podcast very quickly in like one sentence and just give them a specific compliment, like, oh, I love your paper on the cold versus warm therapy and how the health benefits, you can like increase your cardiovascular health from that, you know, something really specific. Again, you can ask ChatGPT to generate that for you. And I have AI prompts and email templates in my paid course, first link in the description. But yeah, just give it a specific, give them a specific compliment, it shows that you care about their work and you've actually consumed their work and you're not just sending this to 100 people, even though you probably are. But it's personalized. It's personalized to them. It will instantly give you a connection with them. It'll make them feel important and therefore make them more open to coming onto your show. Then you would also say, I'd love to discuss the specific topics that you want to discuss with them. Again, you can ask AI to think of ones for you. Obviously, read through the AI response before just copy and pasting it to the guest, because it might say something you do not want to talk about. And then include the benefits for the guests. So, you know, an opportunity for you to reach a new audience, even though you have zero episodes out or you have 2 followers, just say that. Don't specify how many you have if it's small. Then short form content that you can use for your own platforms and will get you more followers, and also an opportunity for you to talk about your new work and new projects. So yeah, just that's a few examples of the benefits for them. Because why would we put the benefits in for them? Well, otherwise it just makes it seem like they're doing you a favor and they're getting nothing in return. It answers the question of why should they care? Why should I care? What's in it for me when they're reading the email? So once you tick that box, they're going to have a higher chance of saying yes. Then say you're flexible. Say that you're open to whenever they're available, that you'll work around their calendar, which will indicate even if they're busy now, that you're open to, you know, recording with them in the future. So they don't think it's something that they need to do next week if their calendar's booked, but it's something they can do in a month and you'll be open to that. So say you're flexible, then end with a call to action. So would you be open to joining the show? Say thank you, sign your name off. If you have links to your show or your website, or you've spoken about an achievement, which I've spoken about in previous videos and on my course, that's a form of social proof. The more social proof you can put into your emails, the more yeses you'll get. So once you blow up on social media using the advice I give you on my course, you will be able to use that as social proof in your emails. And that will allow you to get a high amount of yeses because it shows you're credible, it shows your achievement, it shows it's a popular show, which they can get a lot of benefits from versus, you know, the show with 2 downloads. They're not going to get a lot from that other than just speaking to you about it if you have a small audience. So that's for like when you're more advanced, but on my course, I can show you exactly how to do that and become advanced super quick within a month. But yeah, if you have social proof, use it. Just sign off, have a few links to your social media so they know that the show does exist and they can check it out. I would recommend showing them your Apple podcast as a link below after you've signed your name off. Why? Maybe your Spotify, but probably your Apple. Why would you show your Apple podcast rather than your YouTube or your Spotify when you're first starting out your show? Well, because as far as I'm aware, Apple has the least visible social proof on your podcast. What I mean by that is there's no subscriber count. There might be like a 5-star rating thing, but there's no follower count. You can't see the likes and views on each episode. So if you've posted a couple episodes already, especially by sending them your Apple podcast, again, we're avoiding the trap of having a low amount of followers. Versus if you did it on YouTube, they could see your subscriber count, which could put them off if it's low. They could see your view count, which could put them off if it's low. They could see your like count, which could put them off if it's low. That's all going to turn them off. That's all going to increase their chance of saying no. The bigger the audience you have, the higher chance of them saying yes, because it indicates more of a benefit for them. It indicates your show's more successful and credible. But if you just if they could just see your Apple podcast account, which has the episodes you've posted, even if it's free episodes you've posted, by not having any of those low likes or low views or no views and no followers, it's more credible. It removes that constraint that we have when we first start our show, which is our lack of audience. It's just more effective to show them something that doesn't show your metrics when they're low, versus something like YouTube, which shows your follower count, your subscribers, your likes, your engagement on the videos. So that's what I would recommend. And maybe show your Spotify if you haven't started your Apple, but again, download RSS and get Apple ASAP. Spotify has, it shows the ratings and it shows, I think, how many followers you have from your show, but it's quite small and it doesn't have the metrics for each episode. It doesn't have the views, it doesn't have the likes per episode. So use that if you want to as well. But yeah, that's what I'd recommend for the emails. And if you want the templates for my emails and you want to show and you want like real life examples of me using AI, copy and pasting it into ChatGPT and then sending that to a guest, then that's the first thing in the description on my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint, which will help you go from zero idea, zero followers to securing a dream guest from your bedroom in 4 weeks or less. So once a guest has said yes and they've responded and you now have to schedule them in, be aware of the time zone differences if they're, for example, American and you're living in Europe. But once you've sorted all that out, you've put it on your Google Calendar, then you need to record. So, and also do a bit of preparation. And what I would do is, again, ask AI to generate a few questions for you, to do a deep research task where it trawls the internet and learns everything about the guest and gives it for you in a summarized format, which you can read to create your own questions as well. I've done separate videos on that, and that's also on my course, but as well as the templates and prompts to get the best questions. But do a mixture of AI questions and your own questions, and do a bit of your own research as well. Maybe listen to a podcast or a video that they've been on before, read their book. This will help you spontaneously create questions, and then you could use AI as a backup to create another list of questions in case you haven't got enough for them. But like I said, I think last video, you will only say, well, especially after a few episodes at the start, you'll literally just read off the screen. So what are the health benefits of doing cold sauna and plunge pool therapy? What are the health benefits for that? And then, like, you'll be reading off the screen when you first start your show just because you're nervous and you just want to ask the questions and you can't think of anything off the top of the head because you're like stressed out and overthinking. That's understandable. That's normal. I got that in the first few episodes. After time, you'll be able to barely read your notes and just listen to what they say. You'll be able to listen to what they say and follow up spontaneously. But right now we need to have a list of questions that will you'll be able to fall back on throughout the show, because you will just be otherwise like just having a panic attack if you don't have a list of questions. All your favorite podcasters, maybe other than Joe Rogan, has a list of questions prepared already, which they can use throughout the show. But they like glance at it, look up, and then ask the guest a question as the guest is finishing. So you don't notice it as much, but it's what every pro podcaster does. Preparation, preparation, preparation. So I've got separate videos on exactly the ins and outs and the key topics on what you need to do, where I like go step by step. And I have screen recording videos on my course, which shows you what to write, how to order the questions, how to close off and finish the episode, how to go deeper, asking heart versus head questions. First link in the description for that. But once you've done your prep and it's time to record, then you will send them an invite link on Riverside FM. You'll press the record button on Riverside FM before doing that. Then there'll be an invite button once you join the remote studio. And then you'll send it to their email address. They'll click it into the browser. They'll join the call. You'll ask them how they are, how their day's going. Maybe you'll say a few things that you want to speak about. Just repeat what you said in the email. Like, okay, so I often do this as well. I try to target a younger audience, although a lot of my audience, like for the podcast, like 65 or like 25 to 34. But say I want to target young people. Before we press record, I'd be like, yeah, so we have quite a young audience for this show. So actually, I'm going to ask you a few questions on specifically young people and how your expertise can benefit them. So if you were trying to target a young audience, and you, again, let's use the sauna expert as an example, you would say, we have quite a young audience for this show. So some of these questions are going to be targeted specifically to young people. So maybe an example I could give you right now before we start is, what are some benefits of young people going to the sauna and doing cold plunges? Do the benefits differ between them and adults? Should they go in the sauna less? Things like that. And what this will do is, one, relax the guests because they'll know what to expect. And two, it will just lay the groundwork and I guess break the ice and clear the air of some of the questions you'll ask them. Whereas if you just invite them to the show and then pressed record and then just got on with it straight away and just said, oh, hello, nice to meet you. Okay, let's go. Boom. They're going to be like, whoa. And you're not going to know them. There's not going to be that. You need a bit of like small talk and ice breaking and calming both of your nerves before. Even having like a 5 to 10 minute conversation before is often good. And they'll often, you know, okay, so the experience for me that I've had recently, because I've only been doing this recently, beforehand, I'd be like, oh, okay, how long do we have? Any questions on your end? Then we just start. But recently I've been doing a bit of talk with them, just like getting to know them a bit more before we record. And what ends up happening is the guest loosens up straight away and we end up start to talk about topics that I want to talk about in the show. You might be thinking, oh, that's not a good thing. Like, just leave it for the show. But trust me, it is actually a very good thing because it means they often remember, oh yeah, we were talking about that before. And they were like, oh yeah, like we were talking about before we began. That always happens when you do this small talk thing. So don't worry about it not being spoken about on the show if you speak about something before you press record. 9 times out of 10, it's brought up again. It just loosens the nerves of the guest and yourself. It gives you a bit of that chemistry that may take the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the podcast to develop, which is actually ineffective because the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the show are super important. If the guest is relaxed and you already know them a bit and you've already kind of had a bit of banter, you've had a bit of jokes and you've like got to know them a bit, they're going to be performing much better at the start of the show, which is going to drive up the engagement because the guest isn't going to be nervous as much. They're not going to be as tense. You're going to be asking better questions. It's going to be more of a conversation rather than a traditional interview. And that's the best form of podcasting, is not just you reading the questions off the screen, but actually having a conversation with them. So I would highly recommend before you press record to just chat a bit. Obviously, there's not much to talk about and the guest is tight for time. You only have half an hour like I did with SpaceX co-founder Jim Cantrell, or like 45 minutes like I had with Bertie Gregory. Yeah, keep it super short, but still say a bit, give a bit of back and forth, ask them a few questions, how their day's been, if they have any questions and stuff. Don't just press record straight away. Once you've finished recording and you've had a great conversation, which will happen the more episodes you record, so try and get guests on quicker and record quicker. That's my number one tip for this video that I want you to take away. Now it's time for editing. So you will go onto Riverside, download it, go onto the script, you know, do the studio sound. I have full editing, step-by-step screen record on my Promote Podcast Blueprint. First link in the description for that. And I'm also going to be doing some editing-specific videos on this channel as well. So stay tuned for that. Remember to subscribe. And basically, once you've edited, you've sorted out them audio, you've kind of aligned all the footage together and it's all good, it's all crisp. Remember, you don't have to do loads of editing for a podcast. It's meant to be unscripted. It's meant to be a bit rough around the edges. You're meant to have pauses. You know, you don't need to remove the filler words or remove sections where the guest spoke for too long. It's a conversation. It needs to sound like a real one rather than a, you know, 10-minute YouTube video where they super hyper edit it. That's not what a podcast is. Don't fall into that trap. Once you've edited it, you need to also write a quick description, spend a bit of time on the title and thumbnail. Again, for the thumbnail, go onto Canva and create one. There's a lot of different thumbnail strategies which you can use, which I go through on my Pro Remote course and I'm going to do a video on in the future. Different thumbnails working. You have the Clickbait Diary of a CEO one or the screenshotted, super authentic, just picture of the conversation like Joe Rogan does. Either one works, or you can be somewhere in the middle. But once you've created your thumbnail, just upload it onto YouTube, on Spotify when you're uploading the full episode. It will take a while to upload episodes. They can take a couple of hours if it's been like a 2-hour episode, for example, because the video files are so big because you've been chatting for ages. So just whack your MacBook on and do something else whilst you're uploading your show. And yeah, so once it's all uploaded, you've come up with the title. Tips of the title, again, strategies differ. You can do the super clickbait, attention grabbing, Diary of a CEO, or you can do literally just the guest name, the episode number like Rogan. And there's, again, middle ground where it's half clickbait, but also like almost ethical clickbait. And that's kind of the modern wisdom approach. I go through in-depth analysis and run-throughs of that on my paid course, but I will do brief, full guide videos on that on this channel as well. So stay tuned for that. But once you've done that, it's time to repurpose it. So you'll go onto Descript and you'll get it to generate clips, and AI will turn your podcast into 10 super engaging clips that you can just go onto the short form social media platforms and post or schedule. And again, spend a few minutes doing the captions for that video. Don't spend ages, because especially for short form social media content, you don't need to spend ages perfecting the caption. It could literally just be a question. It could be the first 10 seconds of the video, the text in the first 10 seconds of the video. If the clip is you asking a question and the guest answering, just do the question you asked as the caption and forget about it. Short form content, again, is a sample. It gets eaten super quickly and then forgotten about. It gets consumed super quickly. It's basically like fast food compared to the full episodes, which is, you know, a gourmet meal. So don't spend ages overthinking what to write in the description. You can literally even just do a call to action, like watch the full episode on YouTube and Spotify, or just make it a couple words and then just schedule it and post it and forget about it. And then a bit of social proof I have for you for why you should post the short form content is I just used a clip off the script and scheduled it in, didn't think about it, forgot about it. And then 2 weeks later, I'm just checking the numbers on social media, which I don't really recommend doing that often. So that's why I did it 2 weeks after this. And I saw 1 million views on TikTok, 1 million views on Instagram. My friends started messaging me saying they've seen my short form content videos. And that was all from a clip that AI made for me. Well, not AI, AI found for me on Descript. And all I did was download that clip that it found, uploaded it onto the social media platforms, wrote a quick description that matched the question I asked in the video, and boom, you know, helped me get 3 million views in the first 2 months across all social media platforms and helped me grow my show faster. It's not as complex as you think it is. It's not as time consuming as you think it is. I fall into the trap as well of being like almost autistic or OCD and like tweaking the thumbnail and like tweaking the title or like tweaking the video description or like cutting half a second out of the social media clip. And that's super ineffective. The most effective thing to do is get guests on your show, record, post it, repeat. That's the most effective part. And then obviously post the repurposed short form content as well as the samples to attract people to the main episodes. That's it. So stop procrastinating. Stop focusing on the little things, the profile picture, the bio, the banner. Stop spending hours trying to figure out what guests to get. Just think of a topic that you love. Find authors, find influencers, find academics on that topic. Ask ChatGPT to help you and just go through this process that I've just explained in this video. And just your number one priority is to record podcast episodes. That's your priority. Everything else is secondary to that, and everything else should serve that. For example, posting the reels to get more people onto your main episodes, or emailing the guests to get more main episodes recorded. So if you're just starting out your podcast and you want one piece of advice, if you're just voice broke, I've been waffling for hours, for almost an hour. If you just started your podcast and you want one piece of advice, it is to just record as many episodes as fast as possible, get as many guests on, invite as many guests on as quickly as possible, so you can record as many episodes as possible and then publish them as quickly as possible and repeat. because the highest leverage task you can do is getting guests onto your show, recording it, posting it, and repeating it. That's it. That's what you should focus on. Don't procrastinate. Don't think you're not smart enough to start your own show. Don't spend fucking hours on the logo, on the banner, on like checking the analytics to see if you've got one more subscriber. No, just find guests, get them on the show, record it, post it, repeat. And this is advice to me as well, because I sometimes fall into the trap still to this day of focusing on the minutiae, the non-effective tasks, the little tasks that don't add up to anything, that don't move the needle forward. So if you like this video and you want more in-depth, more step-by-step personalized advice, and you want to know the exact blueprint I use in super, super high detail, every step of the way of how you can go from no idea of how to start your own show to a full-fledged pro podcast that you could even be recording from your bedroom and be able to attract high guests, your dream guests, and generate viral social media clips and actually become part of the top 0.1% of podcasters who make it past episode 20 and eventually make it your dream job, then my Pro Remote Podcast Blueprint is exactly for you. You'll be able to get my full video course where I go through what I just said here, but in way more detail, and there'll be way more modules on topics I haven't even covered. For example, breath work, how to speak confidently in front of camera, go into more detail of how you can use AI and research and things like that, and also get templates, AI prompts, an ebook, and join weekly live calls with me, as well as the rest of the community who are joining the course, which you can befriend and help grow and get results faster with. So you'll end up making, also, as well as all the things I just said, you'll also be able to meet fellow podcasters who are ambitious and you can befriend and grow with. Like, how cool is that? Imagine you meet someone on this community and you both just start your show. You're both on zero followers and you just become friends. And then in like a couple weeks time, your show's growing, you're getting guests on the show. In a couple months time, you're getting loads of subscribers and getting bigger guests. And then in a few years time, you both have your own pro show and you're one of the best podcasters in the world potentially. And you've gone through it with each other and given each other advice and supported each other throughout the entire process. It's like having a training partner at the gym. This is what can happen if you join this course, because it's for the ambitious people who want to start their own show from scratch, but need some guidance, need some help from someone who's been there and done it before them, i.e. me. Then this is exactly for you. You'll also be able to join the live weekly calls where I'll give you personalized feedback to help you get results much, much faster. So if you're interested in that, first link in the description. The first 25 members get it for $47 a month. Then I'll be doubling that once it reaches over 25. So if you're watching this right now, you're super early, go get it at this absolute bargain price. I should be charging like thousands of pounds for all of the education and content that's in there for you, because after you've watched all the courses and been in the community, you will literally be a pro podcaster. And there's no other podcaster on the planet that I listen to and that I look up to that has told you all the secrets, has an entire blueprint for you to just copy to get results. I had to do this all from scratch and learn through trial and error. So if you want to start your own show and get results even faster than I did and avoid all the mistakes, as well as befriend a group of ambitious podcasters who are also growing their show, and get personalized feedback, as well as all the free AI email templates as part of the course that should usually be thousands of pounds, because it's helped me get so much results and not many people are using AI like I am for podcasting. First link in the description, and you will not regret it. Your future self will thank you. Goodbye.